Provoking revelations during fasting. What happens if you associate a thought to fasting? If you practice fasting for a reasonable period, you can obtain very interesting results by associating a thought to your period of fasting. All the persons who have practiced fasting agree. During fasting, sleep becomes lighter and half sleep much more important than during ordinary life. In this half sleep or this light sleep, you can receive very easily through dreams, visions, or hearing in half sleep exercises that correspond to your nature. In the beginning, you associate your usual exercises to fasting. The best exercises to associate to fasting are phosphenic mixing and the mantras. On the other hand, if you want to practice sways, you might find that they make you dizzy, as one is much more prone to dizziness while fasting. The best way to proceed would be to perform very small sways. Static tensions are not really suited, as they use a lot of oxygen, but breathing with a slight lack of air is suited. You will feel this instinctively. Mantras and phosphenic mixing can be associated very well to fasting. You can pray to have the revelation of the exercises that are suited for you, and you will receive exercises that are specially adapted for your spiritual development, for your initiation. I have already said that using exercises provided by a third person, a master or a guru, does not function very well, as the organism rejects them. It is better to try to understand the general principles of this development, the mixing between a thought and a phenic element of the organism, plus inducing a rhythm in thoughts, and from there, look for the exercises that are suited for you. If you pray to receive exercises while practicing phosphenic exercises with a light sun when you are fasting, then during your dreams or your periods of half sleep, or even while you are fully awake, you will have visions, auditions, or intuitions that will indicate which exercises will be easy for you to practice and persevere in when you will have finished the period of fasting, as these exercises are suited for your personality. The true initiation is a self-initiation that respects a few general principles. During fasting, you can also try to solve other problems. Remember that it is through fasting that Gandhi reached his goals. Let us now transpose to breathing what we have just seen about fasting. You now know that the two absolutely essential conditions for practicing spiritual breathing are breathing with a slight lack of air, and also have a precise thought associated to the exercise during the whole duration of the exercise. Development is produced by the association of a thought and a phosphine, but not by the phosphine on its own. So, it is similar with breathing. A thought should be associated to the slight lack of air. For instance, you can try to think about a person with whom your relation has good and bad sides. Think about this person while you perform the breathing exercises. You will feel this breath of the spirit flowing between you and this person. The next time you will meet this person, you will realize that all the good in your relationship has been strengthened and all the not so good has had a tendency to fade, to not matter so much anymore. I have mentioned this process regarding phosphenic mixing. It is not surprising that the process is the same for breathing, as the operation is exactly the same, but performed on a different level. Nevertheless, breathing is much more essential than sight, as it is possible to live a full term of life blind, but no one has ever lived without breathing. So when you practice mixing a thought with breathing with a slight lack of air, you are working on a much deeper octave, much more related with the origins of life. That is why this exercise is even more powerful than phosphenic mixing, at least in certain aspects. This exercise is so powerful that after practicing it for a while, even if you choose a different subject during your exercises, or even if you do not practice exercises anymore, the good force that you have started continues to develop and blossom. It is a little bit as if you had planted a seed. In the beginning, what seems to be a small mental exercise grows into very special consequences. Let us now study the best thoughts to have during this breathing with a slight lack of air. For this, let us study what Professor Kievski has discovered about the electricity within the lung. Exercise of square breathing. First exercise. Breathing in four equal phases, without associated thought. Start by breathing out, then slowly breathe in during 6 seconds. You can count the number of seconds. Then you hold the air in your lungs for another 6 seconds. Then you breathe out during 6 seconds. You can always count the number of seconds in your head. Then hold your lungs empty for 6 seconds. Perform this cycle 3 times in a row so that you can feel its rhythm. Later, it will be advantageous to use mantras instead of numbers. If you construct a series of syllables that you like, it will have to be a series of 6 syllables. As the 4 phases are equal, you can repeat this series 4 times to have the complete cycle. it is the most easy and pleasant way to proceed. If there is a certain symmetry in the syllables you're using, the effect will be even more powerful. Now you are going to perform 4 cycles of breathing with an associated thought describing a circular movement. Imagine, for instance, a dot of light, a small patch of light that describes a circle, which center would be the middle of your chest. You can vary this image infinitely according to your taste. For instance, you can represent a wheel and its spokes, its center being in the middle of your chest. This wheel will rotate during the 4 phases of breathing. You can also represent a whirlpool of water or any other rotating object, a record, for example. This is still just an experiment. Later you will have to practice for at least 15 minutes and potentially up to 45 minutes. But for now, only perform 3 cycles of breathing of 6 seconds, during which you are going to perform this concentration, this visualization of an object rotating, which center of rotation is located in the middle of your chest. When you will stop, you will observe that the movement of rotation has a tendency to continue by itself with a great easiness. Naturally, you should try to develop this tendency. Perform 3 complete cycles, like before, and trigger the movement of rotation always in the same direction from the beginning of your breathing. You start by emptying your lungs, then you breathe in for 6 seconds while maintaining the same direction of rotation. You hold your lungs full for 6 seconds, maintaining the same direction of rotation. You empty your lungs during 6 seconds and still maintain the same direction of rotation. Finally, you hold your lungs empty for 6 seconds while maintaining the same direction of rotation. At the end of this first cycle, keep your eyes closed. Imagine this movement of mental rotation that continues by itself with a great easiness, a kind of automatic movement. We have discovered that this movement of rotation is a fundamental movement of the cosmos, thanks to the whirling dervishes. What we are doing now is transposing this movement of rotation on the level of breathing. Certain persons will feel the point of rotation move during this simple exercise. It might move up to the throat or down to the solar plexus or between the eyes. I believe that for practicing breathing in 4 equal phases, making this thought rotate around the center of the chest is the best way to proceed. If you practice rectangular breathing, you can move this point to the solar plexus. Once this movement of whirling has been created, it will have a tendency to move. If you practice this exercise and maintain your concentration in the middle of the chest while you are falling asleep, you might wake up the next morning with a very powerful sensation of a vortex, a tiny whirling located between your eyes. Naturally, this is the sign of a certain awakening of the higher chakra. I met a guitar teacher who was called Mr. Garcia, and he told me the following story. He had never heard of my experiment, and one day, as he was crossing the Mediterranean Sea on a boat, he focused on the reflection of the sun on water during a long time. When he reached the customs, he suddenly had the sensation of a vibrating, luminous thread hanging between the top of his skull and his perineum. This phenomenon lasted for 24 hours, and he found it wonderful. He talked to certain people he knew about it, and this is how persons told him to come and meet me. The poet Minou Drouet relates that sometimes she could feel her head light like basketry and full of bubbles. She had spent several years on her own on a beach every day, and she would constantly look at the reflection of the sun on water. When one practices this exercise spontaneously, it provokes certain mental rhythms of imaginary light, not during the experiment, not during the focusing on the sun, but afterwards. Her point is interesting. She described her head as full of bubbles. You remember that when one looks at the sun with a telescope, its surface appears full of giant bubbles. They only last about 10 seconds and then they burst. It is these bubbles which produce the light we perceive. Minou Drouet felt light like a basketry. In the Museum of Mankind in Paris, there is a piece of basketry made by people from Tahiti. The sign located under it mentions that basketry is a symbol of God in these countries. This might seem extremely simple, as God is often represented in much more refined manner in the West. Many great artists have produced this kind of art. But if you think about it, this is extremely profound. Basketry is made of perpendicular twigs in a sine wave shape, and often the central thread is a long spiral thread. This representation thus associates a spiral on one hand, and consequently a whirling movement, and on the other hand, perpendicular oscillations intertwined. How can the fishermen of Tahiti come to this conception? They spend a long part of the day fishing in small boats, and as the sun is very strong in these countries, they focus on the reflection of the sun on water all day. Also, they probably recited prayers, as it is an instinctive thing to do while performing manual activities. Many cultures have associated rhythmic thinking to manual activities. Our civilization has lost this habit, but in the Middle Ages, the peasants used to pray or chant while working. These fishermen used to pray, whether they were local prayers dating from before Christianity or Christian prayers. Nevertheless, they used to pray while focusing on the reflection of the sun on water. Consequently, they must have experienced these sensations of wakening, of luminous, moving, intertwined vibrations. People tend to call God what seems very powerful to them. I am talking about the psychological aspect of God rather than its metaphysical. For instance, in the western island of New Zealand, in the north part of this island, there is a volcano. Before the Europeans arrived, all the natives considered that this volcano was God, as it was the most powerful thing around, and it shouldn't be messed with in order to avoid trouble. Moreover, the volcano was the manifestation of the greatest power they could conceive. The moving luminous vibrations perceived by the fishermen of Tahiti provide a great impression of inner power, like all rhythmophosphenic phenomena, and they called God these intertwined luminous vibrations. And this is why they have considered basketry as a symbol of God. This will lead me to talk about another piece of basketry, much more famous, the crown of thorns worn by Jesus Christ. It is also made of intertwined threads that follow. It is very probable that Christ, through the magi who had transmitted to him at his birth the forces of phosphinism, through his practice of praying while focusing on the sun, that were certainly part of original Christianity, through his fasting in the desert to trigger phenomena, had acquired a powerful sensation of moving luminous vibration around his head, and that ended up in the history of the crown of thorns that remained in the tradition that reached us. We have now seen the basics of spiritual breathing. Among the many other breathing exercises that are present in classical traditions, we will choose one that seems related to our experiments. It is breathing alternatively through one nostril and then through the other. Breathing alternatively with the right and the left nostrils provokes a alternating stimulation of a nerve, the olfactive nerve, that is located between the nostrils. We have seen the interest of alternating stimulation on a visual level through the alternation of the double phosphenes. If you use two lamps, one for the right eye and one for the left, and turn them on and off at a rhythm of 2 seconds alternatively, one is on, one is off, it produces two alternating phosphenes. The phosphenes alternate at a slower rhythm, a higher octave, usually around 8 seconds. The rhythm of alternation can provide many useful information on the functioning of the brain. We have seen the effects of left-right alternating hearing at a rhythm of approximately 1.5 seconds. Blood tension is improved. A tendency to perform an examination of consciousness is triggered, as well as an improvement of understanding and a revelation of a personal theme of meditation. So, thanks to all this, one can understand that stimulating the nostrils alternatively can be very favorable. Classically, it is mentioned that this alternating breathing provokes a pleasant sensation of freshness. The term is not exact. It provokes a pleasant sensation that is specific of alternating left-right stimulations performed at the correct rhythm, whether on a visual, auditory, breathing, or olfactive level. As soon as one understands that the goal of breathing through one nostril and then the other is to provoke a left-right alternating stimulation, one can understand how to practice it in a way that will mark this alternation as much as possible. That is to say, there shouldn't be any retention. This would disturb the effect. That's on one hand. And on the other hand, inspiration has to be equal to expiration. You can use a rhythm that is close to the rectangular rhythm, but instead of performing full retentions at the end of the phases of inspiration and expiration, you can do a little bit like with circular breathing and continue the movement while slowing it until you reach the middle of the phase. So there are two main factors: no retention and a similar duration of inspiration and expiration. Once you have understood this, there are two ways to realize this type of breathing. You can inhale through one nostril and exhale through the other. This movement is better produced by closing a nostril with the thumb and the index. You breathe in through a nostril and breathe out through the other. Then you breathe in through the nostril that you have just used for breathing out, and breathe out with the other one. It's a reversed situation. Also, you can breathe in and out with a nostril and then do the same with the other nostril. In both cases, your breathing cycle has two phases. What you should really avoid is always breathing in with one nostril and breathing out with the other. Because when you breathe out, it warms up the nostril. When you breathe in, it cools down the nostril. If you breathe in all the time with the same nostril, you might cool it down so much that it becomes blocked. Nostrils can become blocked very easily, as the veins in the nose can inflate very quickly and block the nostril. If you breathe in through the same nostril and out through the other one, you will quickly have one of the nostrils blocked. The corresponding mental exercise is extremely simple. You imagine a current of energy rising through the nostril you are breathing in. When you breathe out, the current of energy follows a circuit around you. Then the circuit comes back through the other nostril with which you breathe in, and so on. The most tricky thing is to find the best rhythm. For sight, it is easy to control with the alternation of the phosphenes. It is obvious for everyone, as it is the stimulation of 2 seconds that provokes the alternation of the double phosphenes. No other rhythm provokes this alternation. When this alternation is provoked, everything functions better in the brain. For breathing, it is more difficult to have an objective basis, but by trial and error, you will find the rhythm of alternation that suits you best. Perfumes or incense is used a lot in temples or churches for a particular purpose. If you pray while you smell these scents, you are again performing a mixing in a sensory stimulation, something that is related to phosphenic mixing, but on the level of the sense of smell. If, on top of this, you practice breathing exercises in a room in which there is a perfume, an incense, or another scent, you will increase the effect of these breathing exercises associated to a thought. Nevertheless, I advise you on using different scents and changing regularly the scents you use.